You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Can only come from you. Ghetto people, yeah.
What are you gonna
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything that on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Maafa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening Ashe. To Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Joe is Nashville from down in Cashville.
Morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshie. Hotel family, hope everything was well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good day. Hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But in certain parts of this country, boy, it's going to be a difficult thing to do. But if it has to get done, it must be done, and you will get it done, and we appreciate you for it. That's right. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to the archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. But also, you can just use the shortcut and go to babaoshi.net. Babaoshi.net. And there it'll be. I'm back. I'm back. Yeah. And believe me, I missed you guys terribly. And I thank for those who called and check up on me and so forth. And I really appreciate it. I really do. And I'm still battling. And I felt strong enough to do what I'm going to be doing for the next Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays for hopefully years to come. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays. On Mondays, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kambon and Ataki Kambon from 8 to 9, from 8 to 9. And every first and third Monday from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10 on Tuesday, Dr. Rogers. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report. From 8 to 9 on Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., the Sankofa Elders Council.
And then on Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. Go to WeBuyBlack.com, brothers and sisters, because it is the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses. WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. My good brother, Bomani Tayemba, he's in Ghana. He'll be back on the 5th. And once again, we'll get a chance to talk with him. You know, and Brother Bomani is a beautiful man. He's done a lot to help our people and to get that information, you know, out. So we as a people can understand how important it is that we make these connections, that we make these connections. You know, some of us maybe not want to go, but maybe want to invest. Some of us want to go and repatriate. That means go over there and live. That's right. So, his next trip is to Senegal and Gambia, April 1st to April 11th. And then to Ghana again on May 24th to June 5th. And then Tanzania, November 17th to 28th. And all of it at $3,800. Check out Brother Bomani. Okay? Africa for the Africans. Once he gets back in town, if you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. Habesha. Habesha Incorporated. Habesha stands for helping Africans by establishing schools at home and abroad. Habesha Incorporated. The work that they're doing here with the Habesha Works Program, Black to Our Roots, the Golden Growers, Sustainable Seeds, and the Urban Green Jobs. And the work they're doing on the continent in Ghana, the Kashi Project. And if you go online to their program and look at the pictures, you see the work that they have been done. So that's the Habesha Works, HabeshaIncorporated.com, HabeshaIncorporated.com. The Ledge Group. Ledge stands for Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. And, of course, Ledge works in the four areas of human existence: food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects in 6 countries with over 170 employed and over 260 members. Become a member of the Ledge Group. In fact, membership has its privileges, as the saying goes. And if you are a member, you can buy land in Tanzania for $250 an acre. Just $250 of an acre of land in Tanzania. You know, I didn't go to Tanzania because of my situation, but the young brothers, the Buthlazi, they went. That's right. They went. And I was talking to Brother Damani. And I'll have them come on the radio program to talk about their experience. You know, it was tough. You know, trying to climb that mountain, trying to climb Mount Kilimanjaro. It's tough, you know. But I'm so proud of them. I am very proud of them. I'm very proud of the work that Miriam, Sister Miriam, and Brother Damani have done with these young men. We need more like that. They're building warriors, just what Baba Barudi does. Build warriors. Young men with of integrity, of character. You know, serious-minded. We need more. Abibi Atumi. AbibiAtumi.com. AbibiAtumi.com. Abibi Atumi. They have a healing power of indigenous herbs program this Saturday. This Saturday at 1 o'clock, our time, Eastern time, 4 o'clock in the UK, or 4 o'clock in Ghana, damn the UK, 4 o'clock in Ghana, that's this Saturday, and a world-renowned expert of herbal medicine, he will give practical herbs that anyone can use. Do not miss this amazing opportunity. Sign up now and free yourself from dependency on the pharmacy forever. Yes. So go to the website and register and BB it to me. ABIBITUMI.com or BBITUMI.com. And it's a great website. Become a member and all the good things that are on it, the opportunities, the clothes, the shop, and so forth. ABIBITUMI.com. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Us Lifting Us, their Thursday night broadcast every Thursday night at 9 o'clock from 9 p.m. to 10. And if you want to listen, go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU. The name of the program is Dare to Win. That's blogtalkradio.com, ULU. Or you can listen by dialing the number 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789 from 9 to 10 every Thursday night. Us Lifting Us. Homeland Village Cultural Gift Shop, located in Macon, Georgia, 2910 Napier Avenue in Macon. They're open Tuesday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Give Brother Abijah a call at 478-256-1166. 478-256-1166. Homeland Village. Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar, located in the West End here in Atlanta on Ralph David Abernathy, right across the street from Soul Veg, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna. And they have delicious smoothies and health drinks and pastries. And on weekends, on Saturday and Sunday, they have vegan food that you can purchase. So it's, you know, it's all good, as the saying goes. It's all good. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, Mama Nia. Check her out in the Greenbrier Mall. She has the finest selections of books, postcards, greeting cards, T-shirts, figurines, all kinds of good stuff that she has in the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. It's a bigger place than she had, and she's right on the main thoroughfare right there. Give her a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. My brother Gazimde Ajamu at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, that is east of here, right off of I-20. He has a delicious coffee bar serving my favorite Cameroon Boyo and other African coffees and teas, a fine selection, you know, pastries and so forth. Bean pie, that's right. He's got the bean pie. That's at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. Give Brother Gazimde a call at 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. I'm going to give my brother Athletics a plug because he's over in the New Black Wall Street. The New Black Wall Street Market. And that's located right off of I-20 in Turner Hill. It's an old Target store that they converted into a mall. Black Wall Street, they got the streets names, you know. They got all kinds of shops, beautifully done. And he has a shop in there. His product is Athletics, the athletic clothing of the, you know, with African themes, the Omex, the Dogons, the Moors, the Zulus, the Herus, you know. So you got to check him out. He's in the new Black Wall Street Market, the new Black Wall Street Market, and that is in, excuse me, right off of Turner Hill. That's right. So check it out. Where am I at? Okay. Akabin Institute, located here in Atlanta, Baba Baruti, Mama Ya. They've been educating our young warriors. Of course, they need support. Brothers and sisters, send a check or money order out to Akabin Institute. Send it to P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. If you want to use PayPal or Cash App, if PayPal, the dollar sign, YAH, the letter M, and Baruti, B-R-U-T-I. Also, too, He's a prolific writer, and so you want to check out AkabinHouse.com. That's AkabinHouse.com. Okay. The Inye Sesim. And I tell you, oh, wait a minute. I got one more here, announcement that I usually make, and that is Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road, Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, Booth 225. That's Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. Give our sister Shelly Amundsen a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. Also, too, Sister Gabby Aurelia, who has done outstanding work in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti, and her program deals with the education of these young people. They deal with the health of the young people. You know, they have sustainable agriculture and entrepreneurship. So check it out. Go to Sanjay Haiti.org. Sanjay-Haiti.org. Yeah, I almost forgot about them. Can't forget about those brothers and sisters. You know, beautiful. Beautiful. The Inye Sesim. And since it's a new year, I'm going to be bouncing back and forth to the two books that I have of the Inye Sesim. And of course, do as I have been. I missed so many, and I look back at some of the ones that I missed. That really, as they always are, there's some gems, believe me. And so one day I'm going to just have a day. I'm going to read from the Inye Sesim, and we'll make some conversation on that. In fact, today is just a day that I'm glad to be back. So I hope you will join me by dialing 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. And let's engage in some conversation. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. This is Mama Marimba Ani. Can it be an accident that the only people who have built an entire culture based on the dominance of others are also the only ones who are Caucasian? Mama Marimba. Can this reality be an accident? Truly be an accident? Can a way of heartless, spiritless, lying, raping, pillaging, poisoning, thieving, exploiting, appropriating, destroying, disrespecting, murdering, oppressing, genocidal insanity be repeated day in and day out for centuries on end in ignorance of the originators and primary perpetrators? Crimes against humanity practiced to perfection be without conscious intent? Could it be an accident that the jealous desire to harm others who have what they can never possess, that the hateful deliver hatred to those who love them in spite of humanity full of forgiveness and without qualification? Could it be an accident that evil naturally begets evil? Can an empty, spiritless, spiritual people fully comfortable in their methodological corruption of truth, justice, and order be innocent of the destructive crimes they have systematically committed against all creation? Is innocence a quality of a people who do little more than lie and blame others to cover up their wrongdoings against them? Can a flawless, purposefully concealed record of transgressions against innocence be merely an accidental habit? Warrior scholars have no choice in answering any and all of these questions. For where there is a pattern, an unbroken, evolved pattern among a people, no matter how unthinkable or twisted they may be, there is intent, personality, desire behind it. I know this. It is not an accident. I'll say it is not an accident. It is their intent. January 3rd. Our objective is the destruction of the evil system of global European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, better known as white supremacy, and the reassertion of our right to self-determination and the resurrection of divine humanity that we brought to the world in the beginning. Heru Ant Sabet. We know we are righteous. We know we are winning. We see through the weakness of the power we propped up in other people. We are wise enough to know that it is a sign of extreme importance to side with them against us in order to make our destruction by them easier to bear. We are fully committed to their destruction, to the permanent removal of their power over us. We cannot reform hell. Let me repeat that. We cannot reform hell. We cannot transform Urugu into us. It is what it is. We have much work to do. Sankofian nation-building work inside and corrective work outside. In punishing and correcting those who are not African and have historically assaulted us, we have a responsibility to follow our ancestral instructions to punish those who deserve punishment, and none will equal your righteousness. And respond through our actions to the question, if you turn your face from violence, who will punish wrongdoing? Ma'at must be returned to those of us standing on the front line and then administered to whomever stands against us in whatever language it is required to make them understand that our enslavement is over. This is our calling, our only divine instruction in this day and time. It can only be ignored at the expense of our final destruction. There is no alternative. There is no compromise. There is no defeat. We must win, or we will seek to exist as a people. That is a fact. That is a fact, brothers and sisters. Affirm, I know who I am and what they are. Affirm, I know who I am and what they are. Brothers and sisters, the Inye Sesim of daily revolutionary thought. I tell you, it's good to be back, brothers and sisters. I thank once again all of those who called and wished me well. And I'm feeling so much better. I still have a ways to go to recovery. You know, what's interesting is that, you know, I guess I've messed my lungs up. I've had pneumonia so many times. Started in 2006, had it again big time in 2007, and a few times in between. I had again in last year, not 2021, but 20, in 2020. And so I recovered real well. Right now I'm doing real well. In fact, I thought I needed to be on oxygen, and I don't. I'm doing fine. And if you hear me, I'm not doing fine, give me a call. If you hear me huffing and puffing, and give me a call. Let's talk about what's happening in the news. Let's talk about what's going on in the world. Let's talk about what's going on in our lives. You know, I know this is a new year. I missed the Kwanzaa. You know, I love Kwanzaa. I missed all of the Kwanzaa season. I caught a number of them on Zoom, or even on Facebook, some Kwanzaa replays. You know, and it's beautiful. Kwanzaa is vitally important to us as a people, and I know a lot of us don't understand that, but it is vitally important for us as a people. Number one, it makes us focus on ourselves. It makes us look at us culturally. One of the problems that we have as a people is we don't understand who we are culturally. We think this response from this system, this is our culture. It's not. It is not. This is a subculture. And this culture is very destructive to us in the subculture, because we cannot be a part of the dominant culture. Instead of saying, you know, because we've been alienated by it. And so instead of saying, to hell with what you are doing, this is who we are and what we're going to do. Well, I understand. You know, fear has been put into us. And it's hard for us to say that's, you know, that I'm going to be independent. I'm going to be self-determining. I'm going to be liberated. I'm going to have a sovereign mind, a sovereign psyche. You know, it's hard. Because we're bombarded 24/7, 365. Constantly. And so many of us cannot think outside of the imposed boundaries that Europeans have placed upon us, that Yoruba has placed upon us, to think in that way. You know, the other analogy I often use is they have a vice grip. They have a vice grip on our minds. And if you understand that tool, once the vice grip is set, you just can't pull it apart. You know, you have to turn that knob. It's at the end of the handle. And the turning of that knob is symbolic of acquiring knowledge of self. And the more knowledge you have of who you are and who you are historically and culturally, the more you turn that knob, and then bam, it's open. And once it is open and your mind is clear, you don't challenge Caucasians, because just as I read, there's no reforming them. There's nothing we can do or say. They are who they are. So now what becomes paramount and becomes so most important is that we close ranks, pull our resources, and do for ourselves. Do for ourselves. I know one of the things that's very difficult for us is the issue of Pan-Africanism and what it means. To me, it means going home, reclaiming the land, working with our brothers and sisters who are there, changing the dynamic. And to me, it's imperative that we do it as soon as possible. When you look at the Chinese, when you look at the Arabs, the Indians, the Caucasians, everybody who's in Africa, the gold in South Africa. I just read this piece about this. I can't remember what they called it, but it's like the mother lode. They've been getting gold out of there since the 1800s, and they're still getting gold. They're still getting gold. And when you look at Europe, when you look at the Europe, the so-called royals, I can't stand the British, the French, and I can't stand the Europeans, period. Because what they've been able to do, and they're all culpable, all of them, the Swedes, the Norwegians, the Belgians, they're all of them. The Europeans, Europe has became rich because of the exploitation of Africa. And this was even before the Berlin Conference. The Berlin Conference just made it so that they could amicably carve up Africa like a pie, so everybody can get their slice without bothersome, without fighting with each other, so they can, get their boundaries. Germany, all of them, rich. The ones who still have the most territory are the British and the French. France would be a shithole country if it were not for the exploitation of Africa and the other places that France still has control or some kind of control. The time is now. The time is right now. Every day that goes by, week, month, year, decade, century, millennial, whatever. The time is of the essence. That's why I'm really anxious to see how serious the Pan-African Federalist Movement is going to be. Does it have a lot of people on the continent? Does it have the number of people that are necessary on the continent? And to me, if there's other entities, I don't give a damn what you call it. You can call it whatever. Come together. There definitely needs to be a unified front to challenge the prevailing governments that are nothing but puppets, to challenge them and to challenge that leader, that misleadership. There definitely needs to be a commitment to say that by this time we are going to be working amongst ourselves, changing the dynamic. No, this is not going to be a place where you can come as you have in the past. It's not happening. It's not happening, China. It's not happening, Arabs. It's not happening, Caucasians. It's not happening. It's over. We will deal with what restitution we're going to give later, but first we must get ourselves together. We must find ways to govern the continent, put it up in different regions with councils and so forth. No, different than this so-called democracy. Different than capitalism, which, of course, if you don't know, is not a good system. How can a system be good when it's predicated on a small group of people having a hell of a lot at the expense of a whole group of people having nothing? You know? No. We can't have it. So it's, you know, we got some serious work to do in this so-called new year. You know, serious work to do. I know I was looking at, you know, time, and of course the reason why we have January 1st as a day of a new year is because of the Gregorian calendar, Pope Gregory, you know, because even Julius Caesar's calendar, the Julian calendar, both of them were off, but he at least had the new year beginning in March, because it seems logical in this hemisphere, which a majority of humans are in the northern hemisphere, that, you know, it when things start and life starts becoming and bringing forth, that would be like a new year, you know what I'm saying? Like a new year. So it's like sometime around March, that was the new year. So in spring, bring life springing forth, a new year, as opposed to January 1st when shit is cold as hell. Snow on the ground, there ain't no life, there ain't nothing, you know. And of course, we've been following that for, you know, quite a long time, thousands of years, you know. But to me, if that was changed, everything can change. See, I think for some of us, we believe that some things cannot change. They're like set in stone. They're set in stone. They cannot change. Oh, no, that's not true. Everything must change. Nothing stays the same. No, it must change for the better. When you know better, it's just like science. Science changes. Your belief system may not change because you're trained to believe a certain way. And sometimes, even though what you believe has no base at all in reality, and in fact, it is literally impossible, but you believe it because you've been trained to believe it, you've been told to believe it. And so you believe that. And sometimes you believe it out of fear, because if you don't believe it, it's like I told this one dude, he worked for Ron John. He worked for that idiot. This is a few years ago. Me and my good brother Quake, who was in Milwaukee, and at Coffee Makes You Black. And he was up in there. He worked for Ron Johnson, but he was a Christian, you know. And finally, after things that were said, I said to him, I said, you know what? I'm going to tell you what it is. You rather believe and it not be true, because it ain't, but then not to believe and it be true, because you're fearful of burning in hell for the rest of your, into damnation. And as Christians, they rather believe than it not be true, than to not believe and it be true. So, you know, and then that's our problem. That's our problem. The theologies are not African. I'm talking about Islam as well. They're not African. They're not supporting of us as African. Christianity, particularly, because it's individualistic. And that is definitely not African. The African way is holistic. The African way is collective. I am because we are. Because we are, I am. Not I think, for therefore I am, or you know, I'm the king of the damn mountain. So these are the problems. And let's see what kind of progress we make this year toward independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. Let's see what kind of progress we make. Number one, a lot of us don't understand the end game, or question ourselves, what is the end game? Well, of course, because of the people who believe in the theology, that end game, of course, is Jesus coming back. And of course, that is also to support the prevailing government and the prevailing institutions. So Christianity, and I know there's some people who say there's liberation theology, liberation Christianity, and they look at, you know, Christianity in that way. And I, you know, love them. I love them whether they look at it in that way, liberation, or even if they are Episcopalian, Methodist, Church of God in Christ, or any other Christian denomination, Jehovah Witness, you know, Seventh-day Adventist, so many. And I saw a piece, I don't know if you probably saw it, if you've been thumbing through Facebook, all the Caucasian men, you know, who created these theologies, particularly Christian theology, all these Christian denominations, you know. Just like Martin Luther, he got tired of the church and its dictates, and he went to the church door and hammered his theses up on the church door and began the Reformation, you know, to Protestantism. You know, and each one, I'm quite sure, each one said, God told me to do it. You know, I've been inspired. You know, I've been inspired to do this by God. I had a calling. I don't know why this just popped into my mind when I was talking about the number of homosexual men who are in the church, particularly in Catholicism, talking about, I had a calling. No, you didn't have no damn calling. You just want to mess with young boys, you pedophile. You know. although there are some pedophiles that are not homosexual, but these men are sexual deviants and perverted, you know, and which of course is very real in European society, very real in the society that they have hailed as the model, Greece. Very real in ancient. In fact, when you see statues in ancient Kemet, which of course is older than Greece by thousands of years, let me say that, older than Greece by thousands of years, you see pictures of the Medu Nature, you see statues of men and women. They understood the importance of complementarity, and of course, women were respected. Women were protected. Women were dealt with respect. Women could, in fact, there's two, aside from Queen Hatshepsut, there's another queen that ruled. Can't think of her name now, but yeah. But in Europe and amongst the Greeks and the Romans and all the other societies within that, Europe, no, women are never respected. And that's part of their evolutionary development. You know? It's how they developed. And you see bestiality. The Greeks. Yeah. So we're going to take a break in a minute. When we come back for the break, I want to talk to you. I ain't talked to y'all in a while. Give me a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Give me a call and let me know what's happening. See how you're doing. Let's talk about how we can make the kind of changes that are fundamentally necessary for us to be independent, self-determining people. It's all possible for us, you know. So give me a call. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
When I think about love, my blackness. never takes my pride like that. Sugar, keeping my love on track, baby.
Listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspective here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Programs here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central, with Dr. Maria Kambon and Nataki Kambon, followed by from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, from 8 to 10, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9 on Wednesdays. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays from 4 p.m. to 6, no, excuse me, on Saturdays from 7 to 9 p.m., the Sankofa Elders Council. And then once again on Sunday at 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Yep. Give me a call. Let's have some conversation. I'm first day back in weeks. Wow, weeks. I looked, I think it was the middle of last month. And so I haven't been on the horn here for quite a few days. A lot to talk about. What's going on in your world? I know that Max Julian passed. Max Julian, the Mac. And I didn't know he was 88 years old. I didn't know he was that old. And so my daughter, well, you know, me and my daughter, we've watched the Mac so many times. We know dialogue, you know. And I never forget when I saw it at the movies back when it came out in the early 70s. Me and my good brother Ronnie, who lives out in L.A. Yeah. 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 We had a snowstorm in Milwaukee, which is not unusual, of course. But it was unusual in the fact that it was April. And the next day, for some reason, we had time and went to theater and checked it out. And because I love Richard Pryor. I love Richard Pryor. And so what's interesting, some firefighters were invited to a church that a brother has, and former firefighter. He has a nice sized congregation, Christ the King Church, Baptist Church in Milwaukee. And on that day, Max Julian was Max Julian was in present that day. He was in attendance at the church. You know, I know he don't live in Milwaukee, but he was in attendance at the church as a guest. And that was, man, I was tripped out. I had to call my daughter, of course. But what was interesting, if you've seen the Mac, you know there's that part of the where that he kind of reminisces and goes back about his, you know, the death of his mother, and he goes into the church and the chief preacher is preaching, and yeah, and he was going to a place he didn't know he was going, and he was going, you know, the den of the Nicodemus thieves, but he didn't know where he was going, and for some reason the brother who was preaching was sounding like that too, and I was tripping, you know. Yeah, Max Julian dead at 88 years old. And so my daughter showed me a picture of him in a nursing home. Didn't look good. Man, it is a nursing home being visited by Bishop Magic Don Juan. I don't know if you know Bishop Magic Don Juan, but he titled himself as the Pimp's Bishop, you know. And you would see him decked out in all kind of jewelry and clothing. That's, you know, the usual thing. Bishop Magic Don Juan. So, Max Julian. Yeah. Yeah. So, give me a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-983. 464. 464. Good afternoon. 464.
Hello?
Yes. Good afternoon.
You said 464.
Oh, 646.
Man, well, I mean, you've been gone that long, brother, that you don't even know how to do what you do no more?
For real, I need a refresher, man. I need a tutorial.
Hey, man, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm doing much better. Jay, getting stronger every day. I do have some tests coming up, and I believe that I'm going to be fine. I believe that I'm going to eventually back to be normal in terms of my breathing. I really do believe this. This is my hope. But if it's not, and I'm on oxygen every day, then that's what that is. You know,
whatever I have to do to live. The thing is, I've been on it, and you do what you have to do.
Yeah.
You gotta live the best life that you can.
That's
under whatever circumstances are dealing with, you know, these type of devils that we dealing with on a constant and continuous basis. I mean, come on, man.
Yeah.
You know, don't never let that interfere with whatever you're trying to do. You know, because I was talking with Quay Q earlier in route, and you know, it's crazy with this whole vaccination virus thing. Now, I don't understand the logic of giving the person a vaccine and the person still getting sick, but the only thing you should be goddamn grateful is that you're not dying. Instead of doing that, maybe.
Go ahead.
Doing that and maybe coming up with some solution for people who don't want to take the vaccine to being given some form and chance of wellness. Mm-hmm. It's just not, you know, logically right to me, bro. Now, I may be wrong, but that's the way I see it. Why force people in a society to take a vaccine to where as you're taking it and you're still getting sick, but it's just the symptoms are not that bad? It's like being a little pregnant.
Yeah. Been a little pregnant.
I mean, because they basically, at this point in time, are scaring you to take it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I ain't even going to lie to you. I thought about taking it, you know, because I have a few of the comorbidities.
Right.
So, you know, I'm like, damn, man, let me take it. But then again, on the flip side, I'm fortunate enough to be in a financial situation where I don't have to be out in these streets. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean?
Right.
So, you know, like I was saying, the Ralph and Quaco, I got to have some work to do in my house this week. So what is the protocol? Do you have them gloved and masked up while you here in the house while they do the work? Should you be gloved and masked up?
Yeah.
Because it's a real uncomfortable feeling to be in your house gloved and masked up. Because, I was bringing the new year with my old lady and her family, and I'm in the house with Negroes who had the vaccination gloved and masked up. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just, we living in a weird time, bro. And, I mean, how do you, it's like now you at the point, how do you function?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? How do you really function? How can people feel comfortable not being around their family? And when they are around their family, you keep in the distance. It's like, how do you feel comfortable interacting with your grandkids?
Mm.
That's crazy.
Yeah, well, that's what time it is, Jay. That's the situation that it is. I think, you know, the only comfortability for you is to be with your immediate family, and nobody else who's not doesn't enter into that environment. Otherwise, there's always that unknown. And now, because of the Omicron variant, which is highly contagious, I mean, when you watch the news, and of course, do I believe everything on the news? Of course I don't. I don't believe anything this society has put out, you know, with their lying ass. But still, if they're saying that there's such mass, and you see, you know, the long lines of people trying to get testing because they're trying to make sure that, you know, even though they have been vaccinated, and some have been vaccinated and boosted, hell, in Israel, they're getting a boost on the boost, 4 shots,
yeah.
And they're requiring it also for older people in Europe. You know,
it's diabolical, man. it's really diabolical because, you know, my whole thing is I would be more or less skeptical of the situation if I knew they was trying to create something to cure the virus in a sense to whereas, let's say if you get sick, but you take this, you'll be all right. You'll suffer some, you know,
mm-hmm.
whatever. You know, it's like, that's what I would, you know, like, if you get the flu, you basically going to beat the flu.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You're not going to die from a cold and the flu.
People who, there are people who have, of course.
It's not on the level, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, the worst thing that does happen to me was I caught pneumonia. Now, that ain't no joke.
Yeah, well,
that
that's,
shit ain't no joke.
Yeah, I know that, but that's my situation.
You know, right. I mean, mm-hmm. and that's when I had got damaged to where I had to go on oxygen
mm-hmm.
because of pneumonia.
Right. Same
but
here.
Let me tell you something. That was the closest thing to death to me that I ever faced. I wish that on no one. So the thing is, you know, this is what was so crazy. I caught pneumonia. I went to the hospital. They gave me a pill, a nitrogen pill. And then, you know, what absolutely broke the whole you know, the whole sickness basically was water pill, a real powerful water pill.
Yeah, yeah, they got to get that fluid out of your lungs.
That's
what pneumonia is. You have fluid in your lungs, so you got to get that out, and that's what they do.
Right.
You just start pissing all the time, getting that fluid out your lungs. You just start pissing.
Man, it was It was crazy. Yeah, you know, no. You know, the doctor said the thing that this girl, you know, you got high blood pressure and all that. But the thing that, you know, the doctor said, in order for that to not happen to you again, you got to take water pill. And, you know, a man don't like to pee all day. I ain't even gonna lie to you. I gotta take a water pill. You know what I mean? And I don't like peeing all day.
No.
It's just like when you give, you know, until you find certain natural remedies and things like that, you know, you take blood pressure medicine, mess with your erection and when you first start. So, I mean, these are things that just happen. You know what I mean? And we all got to take better care of ourselves.
We got to.
Me, myself, included.
That's it.
You know what
yes.
I mean? But what they're doing with this whole virus thing, I tell you, man, it's evil. It's manipulative.
Yeah.
And it's the white man that is funny.
Let me just say this, because it, you know, see, I don't trust this system. I don't trust Europeans. I don't trust Caucasians. I don't trust Urugu. And if that's all they're pushing, if that's all they're doing, I have automatic suspicion. And I'm not going to go there. You see? Because they're pushing something that that I think they've already been talking about population control.
Yeah.
You know? And they've been talking about that for some time. And so when these conspiracies come out about, yeah, well, you know, the vaccine, you know, you might die in 2 or 3 years. A lot of people are going to start dying in 2 or 3 years. I put nothing past them. I'm not saying I agree with that, that I support that. No. But I put nothing past these people to do what they want to do or want what they want to do or going to do to maintain their position of dominance and control. I put nothing past them.
There you go. There you go. You know, I was right there. Listen to what you just said. To maintain their dominance and their position. I was arguing with a person the other day. The Negro had the nerve to tell me something about passing the voter rights bill. And I had to tell the a-hole, why at this time would the white man passed a bill that would put them in a weaker position, in a threatened position to take their power away from them when all they can do is string your black ass along because they know you ain't going to do nothing.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what they doing. Why would white men give up their ability to do what they're doing? Now, the mentality of this crazy Negro is going to come into play right where you at in Georgia, but the mentality and the evilness of the white man is going to be counterbalanced and attacked, and it's going to show if the white man is going to be able to sustain their position in whiteness with what's going to happen with the governor's race in Atlanta. That's going to be the key right there. Are the Negroes going to be able to organize enough for Abrams to win this time? Or is the white man going to be able to manipulate and do what he do to keep her from winning?
Well, that's what he did the last time.
That's the key thing that we need to look at this year.
Yeah, that's what he did the last time. He purged so many hundreds of thousands of votes from the rolls that were us. A lot of them were us.
Right.
You know, that's what he did the last time. And but of course, he has a challenger. I don't think that's going to be an issue because obviously the Democratic nominee and the Republican nominee, they go head to head at the end. But Perdue, the guy who was the senator who lost, who lost to Raphael Warnock, you know,
I don't care about Warnock's race. I'm talking about this Stacey Abrams thing.
Well,
because Joe Biden said, y'all just got to organize harder. Y'all just got to come out in droves and blah, blah, blah. And Stacey Abrams is a component of that nonsense.
Yeah.
So whereby now you're gonna see where things really are. Are you gonna be able to organize enough to counter react what they're doing? Because this is, in a sense, maybe the white man's last political.
Well, let me just say this, since you brought the bottom line is the work that Stacey Abrams has done, and not just in Georgia, but pretty much around the country. It will be the true test here in Georgia. This will be a true test if she's able, because the bottom line is to get the votes out. But of course, just as you said a little while ago, the manipulation, the undermining, of course, because the Republicans have not won a popular presidential vote in decades. In decades.
It's all about the manipulation.
Exactly.
It's all about
how they undermine. How they. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what they're doing now. The word is escaping me, but they're relining the districts and all of that.
Gerrymandering.
You know what I mean? They're doing that thing. And see, I never get mad at them about it.
You know.
Because my position is this. And people look at me and think I'm crazy. But I tell you in your face all the time, this is a white man's country. I don't give a fuck what they do.
Yeah. It's theirs.
This is a white man's country. I don't want to hear nothing about I built it. No, I ain't built a damn thing.
Yeah.
I was forced, if anything. So whenever you forced to do something, you may have did the work, but I ain't built it because when you build something, you have the opportunity to implement what your ideas are.
And believe me, I bet you any money there wasn't a damn idea from us
put
into the White House or put into all these other buildings. So I agree with you on that.
You know,
let me. There's a couple other calls I'm going to take. Jay, you hang on, okay? It's a couple other calls.
Yes, my brother. Be on mute, my brother.
Okay. Thank you. 404-497-404.
Hello?
Hey, sister. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. It is so good to have you back on the air. We missed you.
Well, thank you. Well, it's truly good to be back. I'm hopefully I can get stronger and stronger and stay back. Stay here right on here every Monday, Wednesday.
You sounding strong.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm feeling good.
Your show is very much necessary and phenomenal. And I think, and just thank you for last week. I know that, you know, you weren't in person, but those reruns were awesome.
Oh, God. Really well, we got to give my good brother, Kwaku, some love. Yeah, give him some love. He's the one who chose, though. So, yeah.
The Kwanzaa spirit.
Yep.
You know, and so they talked about it, and so we was bringing it on. And so that was really good.
Thank you.
And one thing, when I listened to the show last week, you know, we just talked about how great the Nguza Saba is and Pan-Africanism. And someone had made the statement, that it's okay for the white people to come and we should just let them come. And I wanted to call in and say I don't agree with that because we've had a history of letting them in and letting them come and invade. And there's nothing wrong with having an all-African thing. It's a beautiful thing. You know, we're African beautiful people and our cause can be our sacred. That's our sacred.
Yeah.
Our sacred coming together. Just like Mama Marimba, I need to. You know, because I've been with events with her. She said, take the white boy out. Take the white people out. This is for us.
This is us.
And so I think we should stand up. This Kwanzaa is for us. And
well, you know,
let them go do something else.
I remember the Kwanzaas in where I first started out back in the late 70s, early 80s in people's homes. And then we started having public Kwanzaas and a few public Kwanzaas that, you know, like at the museum and so forth. And of course, anybody's eligible to come. So we can't restrict anybody who wants to come to the Kwanzaa celebration, you know.
No,
because they were in a public building.
Yeah.
You know, they were in a public building that was allowed.
But we can make them not feeling that comfortable there with them. Like Mama Marimba, I need you to do all the time.
But I agree with you.
Y'all get out of here. This is for us.
Yeah.
We're building ourselves together.
No,
because too many times people just be locking arms with them and Just have them in with us. And, you know, we do that.
They singing. Yeah, they singing songs together and everything like that. Yeah.
No,
they talking about Umoja and they talking about Harambe.
No. This is for us. I mean, because this is a sacred, powerful thing. And that's my thing. But we can honor it and protect it. And it's beautiful, all African.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, I agree with you. I agree with you. That's why, to me, the places that I've been, very few times have I seen Caucasian people at the Kwanzaa. And I love Kwanzaa. Kwanzaa is necessary.
Yeah.
Kwanzaa is vitally necessary, important as a holiday or has a celebration, but has an entity of us coming together to learn more about ourselves and how important it is. Because the underlying theme of Kwanzaa is unity. Kwanzaa is the underlying theme of Kwanzaa is unity. And boy, do we need some functional unity. And all the other principles. These 7 principles are supposed to be instilled in our everyday lives, not just from December 26th to January 1st, but every day. Every day we think about the unification of African people. Every day we think about being self-determined. And every day we think about collective work and responsibility. Every damn day we should be trying to spend some money with each other, support one another.
That's right.
Every day we need to understand our purpose as a people. Every day we must recognize the creativity of us as a people. And not just the creativity of our ancient ancestors, but the creativity of us today, even in spite of all the racism and all the exclusion and so forth, and how creative we still are. And, of course, the faith that we have, not just in the entities that are higher than ourselves, but the faith that we have in ourselves and each other, you know? So that's why Kwanzaa is important, you know?
It's invaluable.
It really is.
So awesome.
And so after we come through a whole year of this bull, And then all into that Christmas jive, and then now here is Kwanzaa for us to take a break. It's for us to take that break. Yes. So I agree with you.
And that's a good thing. That's a beautiful thing.
Yes, it is.
Unapologetically, it's for us.
Yes.
Y'all gonna do what y'all wanna do.
Mm-hmm.
It's for us.
Yeah. You know, I went to a cookout back in Milwaukee. And the Nigerian Association put it on. And they had these Caucasians who were playing drums. You had some Caucasians who had African clothes on and so forth. I thought it was just disgusting. Yeah, I did. I'm sorry. You know, but, you know, when they want other people and other cultures to be a part of what they're doing. And I'm just saying to myself, you know, because they are appropriators. They steal cultures. They undermine stuff. They want to get in and supplant everything. So, you know, damn it. Can we have, you know, that's why I consistently talk about us learning Swahili so we can have some cultural privacy in our discussions. You know, so, you know, we need to do that. Hold on, sister. I got another caller here. You know, just hold on, Sister Abia. Okay.
Yeah. The only other thing I had wanted to say was about that Omicron.
Okay.
So it's all just like a con game thing, because they're saying, oh, when people come down with the COVID after they, you know, they're getting COVID now. I'm so glad that I got vaccinated because people are doing good that don't get vaccinated.
Right.
I know there are so many people that are COVID positive, and they do fine, too.
Yeah.
So it's a con game to say you need the vaccine for that, because you're doing fine without it. So it's a con game.
Yeah. Well, I'll say this, you know, it just be safe, especially these next few months, to see what happens, you know, if they're going to be the amount of death that you saw with the Delta or the Alpha virus. I mean, that was the beginning, Alpha, because these are all Greek terms, Greek terms. And to see, because at the beginning, in particular with the Delta, many people were dying. You know, many people were dying. I know people, and I know people, you know, who have died from this.
If it's overcast, it's a whole different thing. It's so much more mild.
Right.
You know, transmissibility.
But it's more really transmittable.
They're not going to droves in the hospital. And
right.
Like
but they're more transmittable.
Without the vaccine.
Mm-hmm. But although there are those who have not vaccinated who are catching the Omicron virus and they are going to the hospital. I haven't heard them being put on respirators. I haven't heard them dying, you know.
Yeah, I've heard of many that haven't, though.
Yeah.
It's flooded people all over. All my family, friends, people, and it's so many people getting it, and they just, you know, have a little cough and keep on stepping. But the media tries to exploit, you know, the other side and have you think that you have to have the vaccine with it.
The industry, the pharmaceutical industry, the testing, the hospitals, I mean, you know, there's a lot of money. There's a lot of money that's going to be made and a lot of money is going to be spent. And many people who will spend a lot of money will still probably, you know, perish anyway. You know, this is just sad, you know, but I'm just trying to do my best to stay as healthy as I can be. You know,
and
especially in my situation, because I have a respiratory issue and these viruses are respiratory, you know, so I got to be very careful, you know.
Yeah,
so
keep building up your immune system.
Yeah.
Vitamin C, mm-hmm. D, zinc, all that good stuff.
All that good stuff. Vitamin C, vitamin D, a lot of vitamin D. Get go out and get sunlight.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Got to.
Yeah. Protect yourself. Yeah. All right, my sister, just hang on. Okay.
Sister
V, all right. Thank you. 302-257, 302, good afternoon.
Hey, good. Welcome back, Brother Oshie.
Oh, thank you, my brother. Thank you. How you doing, man?
Man, I'm fine. And I'm glad I'm following that sister because let me tell you something. Omicron, garbage crime. Y'all keep watching that virus they call the news media or everybody going to think they sick. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something, man. And I had this conversation with Jay and a few others.
Right.
Three members of my household came down with this latest strain.
Oh, three members.
My wife had it.
Three members of your
my
household
wife,
with
my household
with Omicron.
Whatever it was, she had the night sweats. She had the fever for a couple of days, but she was up washing clothes, doing dishes. My stepdaughter up from Florida, she had it. She's walking her dog, smiling, watching TV.
Okay.
Come on. Get away from the real virus, which is that media.
Okay.
You know, that, you got all these brothers and sisters full of fear, man. I'm laying in the bed with my wife every night. But see, I do something different than most Negroes.
Right, right. You've done something different, you know, in terms of boosting your immune system.
I do something different.
Yeah.
There you go. I take my quercetin. I take my zinc. I take my vitamin C. And Paxlovid. And you know, my wife does too. It's just that she don't do it like I do it. I do it daily because I deal with contractors.
Right. You're out in the public. You're out in the public. You have to deal with people.
So I do it every day.
Mm-hmm.
I do it every day.
Yeah.
And it's funny. I went there this morning. Because, you know, I go get a weekly test. I want to see if I'm positive because this is the only virus I know. You got to go take a test to see if you got it.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
Yeah, I mean, come on. So I go take a test. That way I'm free from liability and stuff like that.
Okay.
But they said, like, all the vaccinated people that were over there giving out the tests, they all out. They all sick, home. They can't even come out. They're sick.
Mm-hmm.
Vaccinated people. So, why the hell should I take a substance that's supposed... Now, when I look at the definitions of immune, they said they give you something to make... you're going to be immune to the disease. I shouldn't catch chickenpox again because I had it once, so I'm immune to it.
Right.
But they done flipped the narrative and say, oh, you won't die from it. Come on, man.
Yeah. Get it, but you won't die from it. You won't get sick. You may not get hospitalized. But you'll get it.
No.
Okay.
The narrative I've been hearing out of these vaccinated people, they sick as hell. But they said, but the thing about it, you won't die from it. Well, my wife, stepdaughter, and stepson, they ain't died from it. My daughter's home now. My biological daughter, she just told me she got it. She's okay. You know, just her head hurt a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not like a common cold to me. But I don't know. And I think everybody should look up War on Horizon, Irritated Genie. He has a excellent 2-piece DVD set on this whole setup and the money that's being made from it. Who's controlling it? Who's controlling the narrative? How these vaccines were made, like in the early 2014, 2015, but this is their opportunity to flip it now and make some money out of it because they've been trying to come up with something to make the money. I mean, this whole thing is a scam, man, and our folks fall for it every damn time, just like they fell for Biden. You know what I mean? I'm getting sick of it, man. When are we as a people going to wake the hell up and realize we're being snowed on every, you know, I mean, Biden. I mean, and then I'm looking at posts, and they got all our people posting pictures of Betty White, man, and how great she was, and how they love. You know what I mean? you talking about Kwanzaa, Brother Oshie, and I got to be honest with you. I don't celebrate no holidays.
Okay.
None by the con man, FBI agent. I don't celebrate his holiday he came up with either. But I do believe in unity. But I believe what we really need is sanity. Because how the hell are you going to celebrate unity and you won't have none?
Yeah.
We got to get out of that nonsense. We got to get, you know, we need sanity.
Yeah.
We need sanity because, you know, y'all keep on looking at that real virus that comes from that boob tube. Y'all going to be still in fear. You're going to still be debating, should I get this, even though people around us got it. They got the booster and all that garbage, and they still sick. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And I just got to leave you with this one, man, because the preachers, they got a point. The devil is a liar. You know, if we can get that far, we can go somewhere. But no, we believe in Biden, Fauci, all the rest of these, Rochelle Walensky, and all the rest of these.
Yeah. Well, that's who you're trained to. You're made to believe. You're trained to believe. I couldn't stand Fauci from way back in the 80s when he denied that the AIDS virus was created in a laboratory. AIDS virus was created in a laboratory in Fort Detrick, Maryland.
But
it didn't happen naturally.
It wasn't. But, Brother Oshie, that's immune. That was acquired immune deficiency, right?
Right, acquired immune deficiency syndrome.
Same thing this thing they stabbing in you that's supposed to boost up your immune system. If I'm boosting up my immune system and it's not natural and I'm boosting it up, what's happened to my immune system that's natural? It's going to be deficient. It's going to rely on some foreign agent. Come on, man.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't AIDS that was killing people. It was that AZT.
Yeah.
That drug was
a definite death. And they mentioned that.
It's the same damn thing. So, you know, like I said, Brother Oshie, when I call in, I only talk about my experience. Mm-hmm. And my experience is people got it all around me. I ain't catch it. I'm out here knocking the snow off my car.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't got it. You know, the people that have it, they in there enjoying life. They ain't on no ventilator. They ain't on no. Come on. Come on. Cut the main virus off that comes from that boo tube and you'll be okay.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
I'm
going to go back on mute, brother.
All right. All right, Ralph. But I appreciate it. Always good to hear from you, man. You know it.
Yes, sir. You take care, man.
All right, brother. Peace. Stay safe.
You too.
Yes, our good brother Ralph, man. Yep. Stay safe. Yeah, boost your immune system. When this stuff first came out, I had a program. And once again, and I said it then, and I'll say it right now. I'm not saying for you to get a shot or not to get a shot. That's on you. But what I am saying is make sure that you know what is available to you. Make sure that you know all the things that are happening. Because the bottom line is, you know, people are dying. And you don't want to be one of them. And so you know, you boost your immune system. I think I still have that piece that the brother put out. And he was, of course, advocating that you get out and get vitamin D. There's some other stuff that he was talking about within that, you know. And I know that a lot of us got to get the vaccine, because we're not going to do that. We're not going to eat right. We're not going to change behavior. We're not going to do all those things. So get the shot, and then you continue on with your life, and then yet you still get the virus. You know, maybe you get the Moderna, which is a 2-shot deal, you know, and the Pfizer was a 2-shot deal. The only one that was a 1-shot deal was Johnson & Johnson. And then maybe you get the boost from both. They say, well, now you are fully vaccinated, but yet you still get the virus. Now, they say that you will not be as sick. You won't need hospitalization, and you more than likely will not die. But if you got those shots and your condition, your health, overall health condition is not good in any damn way, then you could get the virus and still die. Brother Ralph, you're right. You know? And I think Trump is pulling this thing about the vaccine because that's going to be part of his 2024 campaign. You know, he's the one under his leadership that the vaccine came about, that we're able to move this vaccine into the fore in a much shorter time than it has been in the past, because in the past they did all kind of studies before they would allow a vaccine to be into the public. But here they did it within months, which of course should cause suspicion. I know it would cause suspicion for me, you know, but, and so I think that's why he at one of his so-called rallies when he was with, what's that other asshole, Bill O'Reilly. He talked about taking the vaccine. Take the vaccine. It's good. You know, and of course, all the supporters just started booing him and everything. But that, I think that's what he wants to do. He wants to run on that. Caller 469. 469, good afternoon.
Hey, Brother Oshie. How you doing today?
Hey, Kevin. How you doing, man? You sound great, man. How's it going?
Oh, brother, I couldn't be better.
Right
I'm doing
on.
Well.
Right on.
Yeah, it's always good to hear you on the phone, brother.
Hey.
You're disseminating that good knowledge.
Well,
but
well.
One thing I was just thinking, and just be sure not to push yourself too much. You know, as we get up in age, we don't bounce back as quickly as we did.
When oh, we I agree, man.
Young whippersnappers.
Yeah.
And
I sure am.
Yeah, I'd much rather to see you, brother, take your time and come back and get into whatever you need to do when you're full strength than to try to rush back too quickly and then have a relapse. You know, that's not good.
No, I agree. But I think what I'm trying to do now is on track, you know. It really is. I think what I'm trying to do now is on track. I've gone through this before, Kev, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I've experienced it before, so I think in my recollections of what I've done in the past, it's going to be different this time. I really have to be cognizant. I can't just be like the same old saying. I got to change some behaviors, change some dietary issues. It's all about me being of optimal health as I can be, you know, losing
correct,
this
correct.
Weight and all of that. You're right, man.
Yeah.
You're right.
You know, I know. You, as a person who's used to being busy, you know, a lot of times it's very difficult to, you know, have the laid back to where you can't get out and do the things that you want, that you're used to doing. So you have to find some other things intellectually, and I know you read a lot, but intellectually and other things kind of keep you occupied. That's why I pick up different skills all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm doing more and more video. I'm going to be doing more and more video. I'm going to go out and begin to do interviews with people. I actually
I look forward. I know you're going to send some to me, so I look forward to it, man.
Yeah, I have one that I did. There was a sister. She's from the islands, but she lived in Maryland. And I did a video with her, and I'll send it to you.
Okay.
It's pretty good. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to do more of those. One of the things, the reason why I'm going to do more of it is that we're very, very visual people.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the things that we're looking at, our young people are getting caught up in a lot of the negative things because we are a very, very visual people. So when you do the Nicki Minaj and the what is a stallion, whatever her name is,
the imagery of that is so deep and so just like yesterday I was watching the news as I always do, but there was a feature on CBS Sunday Morning on what's the dude, Old Town Road, who's put some terrible imagery out, disgusting imagery. What's that kid's, what young man's name? It's on the tip of my tongue too. He's name escapes me at this time, but I know you.
It's so many of them out here, old.
Yeah, it is.
If you can't remember that one, we've got another one. A whole bunch,
Lil Nas. That's it. Lil Nas X.
Yeah. Okay.
Little Nas X.
Okay. I have one young man out of Chicago that's, I was told that he's one of my relatives. He had a brother or a cousin who got killed a few months ago, got shot in the head. But we can't just tell them not to do it because they're young and they don't really understand who they are.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And when you put these videos out like they do with these fine women, and you know when you're young, you put a fine woman out there, man, hey,
it's captivating.
That's gonna get your attention.
Oh, yeah, it's captivating. Mm-hmm.
That's right. So what we're going to have to do, some of the things that I plan on doing, is to do more videos and actually go out among the young people and teach them how to go about doing it. And once I introduce them, then within a little while they'll be teaching me, because you know they'll pick up and go further ahead than what I'll ever do, because their minds are so young and fresh. They have a lot of energy, and their imagination, you know, is beyond what I have. But I'm going to send you this one video that I did with this interview with his sister.
Okay, I look forward to it. Yeah,
doing Greenwood. Mm-hmm. So look, I'm not going to hog the line, but it was on my mind to just call in and let you know that don't go too fast, brother.
All right,
I'll be around here.
I hear you. Appreciate you, man. Thanks a lot, Kev.
All right then. Hey, take care now.
All right, peace.
Peace.
It's a good brother, man. It's a good brother, sharp brother. Yeah. Oh, ain't heard from. Hey, Sean, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm good.
Good. Got anything or just want to listen?
Well, I just want to say, you know what I'm saying? I'm glad to know that, you know what I'm saying? You're healing up. You know what I'm saying? You stay on that road. I was, you know what I'm saying, trying to tune in every so often. I didn't hear from you. It's good to hear your voice, sir.
I just appreciate want to say that. No, I thank you for that, man, and I appreciate that. I know that you're always out there just wanting to listen, and sometimes you do chime in, you know, when you feel you need to, and I appreciate that as well. So thanks a lot, my brother. Appreciate you, man.
I'm just glad you're doing the organizing with these trips. I mean, if I can hustle up some change, maybe I might find my way out there. But I'm just going to say thank you for doing the work. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm thank you for doing, you know, what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? It's important to always be able to have, you know what I'm saying, opportunities out there.
That's
you know
right.
What I'm saying? I just, you know what I'm saying, that warms my heart. I just want to say heal up, keep your water up, keep your nutrients up. You know what I'm saying, and rest up this winter. Don't do too much. I know you know how to take care of yourself. You know what I'm saying. I just, you know, words of love, man.
Right on, my brother. Thanks a lot, Sean. Appreciate you.
No problem.
Thank you. Yeah. So, I only got a few more minutes, and it's good to be back. I'm trying to line up some more guests for the program, but I mean, the program is going to be what it is. It's always about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. Of course, our motto is Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. That's the bottom line. There is no other solutions for us. There isn't. I know we talk about voting, and many of our people have been trained to believe that voting is a panacea for us. I know we talk about that. I know we talk about, this country is just as much ours as it is anybody else. And so we want to participate in all the things that, but just as Jay said earlier, and I've said many times, this is theirs, not ours. This is theirs. And the only thing you can be in it is what they allow you to be. Now, I know you can say, but Bob, Brother Oshie, that's not true. You can be anything you want to be if you persevered, if you are committed to doing and being that. You know, let me just say this. They always let somebody do something to show you, see, you too can be this. No, you can't. No, you can't. But they want you to believe that, because they want you to be a part of this until they're ready to get rid of you. And that's coming. You may not agree with it. You may not understand it. That's coming. No, it has been clear in my mind in the history, because that means, just as the saying goes, of all our studies, history is best qualified to reward our research. Look at the history. Look at the history of the European in relationship to all others. Look at the history. Look at the history of what they've done. They never came to a situation where they came open arms, open-handed, open-hearted. They never came to that situation. They came deceiving. And then to the point where they can eliminate. There's only a few forms of genocide on this planet that have happened. And they've happened because of Europeans, because of Caucasians. They've happened because of Urugu. And don't think that it still cannot happen in this informational age of today. You can see it for yourself happening. And they're the perpetrators that are going to do it. So, you know, you can trust and believe that this government is going to protect you, that you are just as much part of this government as anybody else, and you have the right to vote, you have the right to hold office, you can be governor, you can be president, you know, just like many Caucasians want to believe that because Barack Obama was elected, there is no such thing as racism. It's over. See, we've had a two-term black man, Negro, to be president of the United States. So how can this be a racist society? You know, when you have that, how can it be? So I'm gonna tell you, if we don't close ranks, pull our resources, come together, it's Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. That's the bottom line, you know? So we'll see. We'll see. And you know, what bothers me is our people just, you don't want to listen. You don't want to listen to us. You want to listen because who you're trained to listen to. You're trained to listen to the ministers. You're trained to listen to the educators. Their educators, those who are trained. You're trained to listen to them. You're trained to listen to the news. Just like Brother Ralph said, that's the real virus. You know? I tell you, there's so much out here for us. There's so much knowledge and information that is right in front of your face, right in front of your eyes, but you're trained not to look at it. You're trained to be afraid of it. You're trained not to deal with it. And one of the main impediments is believing in a theology that was imposed upon us by the very people, by our captors. And I know that some of us have made that theology and fashioned it and reshaped it. And they looked at the Bible and they looked at Christianity and they found a way to put our face on it, put our struggle on it. So they believe that. They look at Islam, even though Islam was imposed upon us. But they look at Islam as a way. You know, for us, because Islam is more of a way of life. And all the other religions that are not African. We don't need religion. We need a spirituality. We need to tap into that spirituality that understands who we are as African people, our ancestors, our elders, our righteousness, our honesty, our commitment, our complementarity, of family, children. Either we have it or we don't. If we don't have it, see, that's why. You know, I know somebody says, I don't believe in this, that, and the other, but to me, if there's something that is talking about us coming together, I'm going to look at it hard because I know that's what we need to do. If it needs to be, and if I look at it hard and it should be supported, I'm going to support it. I'm going to promote it. I'm going to talk about it on this program. That's why I promote the Pan-African Federalist Movement. The concept and idea is long overdue. The concept and idea is long overdue. Well, brothers and sisters, I thank you. I'm so happy to be back, and I'm glad many of you have called in. Share some time. We'll have more conversation on Wednesday. Hope you can join us. So we end this program, like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the MIND, but the MINE, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fortier means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will Be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day. Hope to see you on Wednesday. Peace, family.